Good afternoon, my fellow Americans. I'm Bill Lipinski, and next up is our cleanup hitter, Ray Hanania.
And as a result of this, I'm learning more and more about baseball and what a cleanup hitter is. The only sport for me is politics. And today is March 7th, 2024, season 3, episode 8 of Two Guys on Politics. And we do talk about politics. Former Congressman Bill Lipinski and I are going to look at the Super Tuesday results, the 16 states that went to the primary poll. And we're going to look at also this report by many media. A lot of media, I guess, assert that many of the voters who supported Nikki Haley were actually Democrats who crossed over try to undermine Trump. And then we'll also end with a little discussion about the three states, Democratic states, that sought to remove Trump from their ballots, prevent him from being on their ballots, but the U.S. Supreme Court stepped in to overrule that. So what did you make of Super Tuesday and the election results in the 16 states, Bill, this past week?
Well, the first thing I want to say is I'm happy that Nikki Haley finally won a state. She won the state of Vermont. I think she won it 53-47, something like that. So I want to give her credit for that victory. Somehow the other 15 states managed to slip away from her. It went to Trump. And I think that in many cases, the difference was probably about 30 or 35 points. So I think it was very convincing victory by former President Trump. The thing that upset me about the situation was that the news media, because they want to be so anti-Trump, has been talking about how all these votes that went against Trump were Democrats crossing over. Now, there's no truth to that whatsoever. The Democrats want to run against Trump. They believe Biden beat him once, he can beat him again. So they weren't going to cross over and vote for Nikki Haley. Those were Republicans who were against Trump in the first place. Now, I believe he'll win most of those people back, perhaps not all of them. Most of them he will win back. But the news media is so biased in favor of Biden. I just don't see how Trump, you know, will get a fair shake from the news media in this election. So I think it's going to be very, very important for Trump to campaign starting immediately in every state in the union in order to get his message out. Now, you know, I'm not a Trump fan. I like many of his policies, but his personality I just cannot handle. But obviously he's very popular in the Republican Party, not only with the, you know, the populist, but also with the old line country club Republicans because of his tax policy. So I think he's going to be a formidable candidate. And right now I would certainly advise Joe not to get up on the debate platform with Trump, because I think he'll give Joe an awful lot of trouble. And I really thought that Nikki Haley might do a little bit better in a number of states, but it didn't turn out to be that way. But I still applaud her for staying in there when all the guys wind up backing out. But she hung on for as long as she possibly could. And I think she did a service for the Democratic Party, the Republican Party, and all Americans.
And I agree with you a little bit. I think that the other aspect of this news media, I consider it a news media bias in their reporting. I think they also fear that Biden is in trouble and they're going to do and say whatever it takes to undermine Trump and reinforce Biden. And I think voters are not stupid. They may like Biden, they may like Trump. But I think they're more annoyed by a media that isn't doing its job. And I think that actually helps Trump. I think what they're doing, what the media does, is empowering Trump to make him stronger. If they would treat him fairly, I think it would hurt him more. But the media can't stop itself in today's world of being biased. You know, all the major media are controlled by five corporations today. And they're oftentimes more political than the politicians. And to me, that's a shame, because when you and I were at City Hall many years ago, the media still had its problems. It was still ranked very low in the eyes of the public. But I thought that back then you could at least get, it wasn't Republican and Democratic partisanship. We just went after whatever was the good story, regardless of who was involved with it. Today, it seems like they only fact check Trump. They don't fact check Biden. They fact check Republicans. They don't fact check Democrats. This liberal left-wing media, I think, is really asserting a partisan, bias that I think is hurting the country and fueling the polarization that exists, the big, great divide, in this country, that I never thought it would be so terrible. And I think it weakens our country too. So I blame a lot on the media. I'm not surprised that Trump did so well. I'm not surprised that Biden did. And that's another topic we can talk about, the effectiveness of our primary system. We've only gone through 22 states, I think, about. We got 28 more and a bunch of few territories left to do primaries over the next through June 4th. And it's already decided that it's going to be Trump and Biden. What's the purpose of having more? Why even have an election in Illinois other than for the local candidates?
Very true. And many other states now will be holding their primaries, and it will have no effect whatsoever on the presidential nominating process. And I think that's disappointing. I think we should come to a primary system where we should have maybe a third, a third, and a third. Set it up so that we get the Eastern vote, the Midwest vote, and the Western vote over, say, 3 straight Mondays. And I think that would be a better way to select a candidate. It would not be as expensive as it is now. It'd be very, very difficult for someone who is not president or who has not been president to raise sufficient amount of money to wage a victorious campaign. The incumbent president really has to have done a very, very bad job, like George Bush, when he said he promised no new taxes. Read my lips, no new taxes. And of course, he raised everybody's taxes. And that did him in.
Well, even with your plan, I mean, even when we did, a third of the states and then another third and then another third, the media is still going to say, and a lot of public are going to say, oh, look at Nikki Haley got out. No one else is challenging Trump by the first group of third states. They're going to say, well, it's over. It's going to be Biden and Trump. How about this? How about the election runs 2 weeks long and you can vote in all 50 states during that 2 weeks and we don't know the results until the final few days so that it doesn't impact like the states that haven't voted yet, like Illinois. What's it's going to reduce and, people are just not going to be energized because at this point, we know based on the first 22 states that it's going to be Biden and Trump. The only thing we can look for, I guess, would be maybe some surprises at the Democratic convention in Chicago and the Republican convention in Milwaukee after the June 4th pr last primary is finished. It seems pretty much certain who the two candidates are going to be, the two mainstream candidates.
Well, I don't think that the networks, the TV network, would allow us to only do primary on one day. They would not be anywhere near the advertising revenue that they make now. So we have to come to a compromise. We have to give them at least 3 days
Well,
to
I'm
soak
saying
all the pitches.
that's what I'm saying. I'm saying do it over a 2 week period, 14 days. So you start on, let's say, March 1st in all 50 states, people vote, and we don't know the conclusion of all those 50 states until March 14th. So you could see the trends, but you don't know what the results are going to be until we get to the end of that 2 weeks. But I agree with you. I think the media would go berserk. They would lobby against it. They would say that it unfairly treats independent candidates. They're going to say all kinds of stuff, but I
Oh,
think
they
our
would say
system.
it's not fair to the American people. The American people want to hear the facts from the candidates.
Well, I mean, why doesn't they, they could do all the debates and they could do all the stuff like 6 weeks before, and just change the process. But the way it is right now, this happens every presidential election, not so much local elections, but presidential elections, obviously, and national elections. We pretty much, before the primary season is over, we pretty much know who the candidates are going to be. And
Absolutely.
that just seems to be unfair. And that's why we saw manipulation of which states were going to start. Wasn't that part of it? They took it away from Iowa, I think, and New Hampshire, and they wanted to start with other states.
Oh yeah, the Democrats, led by Joe Biden, wanted to set it up so that the states that went first were states that were very favorable to him, and
And
that came to pass.
he really never had any big challenge
No, he
in
did not.
his primary. So, I mean, what's the point of having an election when nobody's there? Were maybe eight other Democrats that got very insignificant numbers of votes. And then, of course, we're not even talking about the independent candidates in this whole process. Maybe this public dissatisfaction and unhappiness with the process, and I hear people complaining about it all the time. Maybe that could translate into a vote for an independent candidate like the No Labels candidate, if they can ever get their act together and tell us who their candidate is, or Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who definitely is running, but the Democrats are really putting up obstacles to keep him off the ballot.
Well, we'll get to Kennedy in a moment, but the no labels people are having a big meeting tomorrow about what their next move is going to be, not who their candidates are going to be yet. It's too early for that.
Yeah.
Their next move is going to be. Now they have 800 delegates, from around the country who are going to get together and make this decision.
Right.
I don't know who these 800 people are. I don't know how they were selected, but that's the No Labels people. It's a very secretive organization. I don't know when they're going to pick their candidate, but maybe they'll get it done by, October or so, so they have a week or two to campaign.
Let me ask you a question, Bill. Obviously, a veteran politician, held elective office in Chicago and, of course, in Congress for, I think, what, 22 years in Congress, or more than Daley, right? The Richard J. Daley. I think he was in 21 years, right?
Yes.
Something like that. So you've been around a long time, and you understand this. Why do we even have a party primary that is so, in a way, it's flawed? It's geared to push the favored candidate of a party, and it's set up so the favored candidate gets the advantage. And the voters, it doesn't matter what we say. All we can say is we don't like what's going on. But, with all these different states, we really don't have a choice until the real election in November, November 5th of this year, when we have the final general election. That's where we actually get a chance to tell the parties who we really believe should be or shouldn't be the president. But as you point out, a lot of good people have lost the ability to run in that election because of these primary processes that have kept people out, because of the way the system is set up.
Well, the system was set up really by once upon a time in this country, going back probably to the 1920s, maybe a little bit earlier. The Democratic Party was dominated by the big city organizations, New York, Chicago, Cleveland, Detroit. Every northern big city had an organization similar to what we had here with the Daley organization and the Cermak organization. Perhaps they weren't quite as powerful or as strong as the Cook County Democratic Organization. But all the big cities had one, and they are the ones that control the process. They are the ones that set up the primaries. Why? Because they wanted to get their candidate out there. They wanted to get their candidate some exposure, and they want to see to it that their candidate would defeat very heavily anybody else that was running in a Democratic primary to show that their candidate was the most popular person. So they would have a jump on the general election. The Republicans control primarily the suburbs, the rural areas. In some states, they had strong political organizations. Believe it or not, at one time, the Republican Party in the state of Illinois was quite strong. They elected governors, they elected secretary of states, they elected treasurer. Today it's gone, and it's gone. Why? Because the first organizations to break down with the suburban organizations and the rural political organizations.
Now, the other thing I wanted to mention was there was a protest movement against Biden And that it's continuing through this, that I think is what's going to cause his political demise. And I know it's mostly driven by Arab and Muslim voters in some of these swing states like Michigan and Minnesota. I think like in Georgia and Nevada, there's some large Arab and Muslim populations. In Michigan, they voted against Biden in the Democratic primary by selecting the uncommitted option. And as I think it's accurate to say that that's not an option in every state. Illinois doesn't have the uncommitted option. I would have to write somebody's name in if I don't want to vote for the people on the ballot. But those uncommitted votes were pretty significant. Like in Michigan, Biden won the state by 158,000 votes, and more than I think it was 100,000 votes voted for uncommitted in the Democratic primary. And to me, what's significant about that is the total number of Democrats, that's 100,000 out of a total number of 700,000 votes cast. And we know the primary is only a small percentage of what the general election vote total is. I think the general election in 2020 was 5.5 million compared to the Michigan general election, which was only a total, I think, of 1.5 million. So that 100,000 anti-Biden vote would be far more than enough, if it, which would grow, I think, in November, to prevent him from winning Michigan. And we saw the same thing happen in Minnesota, a huge vote, almost 20% of the voters in the Democratic primary selected uncommitted rather than voting for Biden. And it's such a huge number that the primary, when it actually extrapolates to the November election, that number could increase. That 20% could be more than significant to take out Biden, who won that state by only 200,000 votes. So I think Biden is in a lot of trouble for a lot of reasons. And I think it has more to do with anger among these voter constituencies that are unhappy with his leadership. I think across the board, everybody has a problem with Biden in some different way. And I think it may come back to haunt him in November, which is why the media is doing everything it can to not report to, they're challenging, the significance of the uncommitted vote, saying, oh, don't worry, they're just unhappy. But, over the next 7 months, Biden can throw them some breadcrumbs and a few cookies. They'll come back to the Democratic Party because they don't want Trump. But when I talk to them, I hear them all say the same thing. 4 years of ugly rhetoric from Trump doesn't even come close to 4 months of fatalities in the Middle East under Biden. And I think that that's a weight that I'm not sure Biden can overcome. Right or wrong, I'm not saying who's right in the Middle East or wrong in the Middle East. I'm saying it's a factor that's really going to hurt him.
Well, the first person I ever heard talk about the possibility of Biden losing the support of all the Arabs and Muslims in this country was you, Ray. And that was probably 4 or 5 weeks ago, shortly after the Israelis started their counterattack on Hamas. Since that time, a lot of people have been writing about it, have been talking about it. And just the other day, some National American Arab leader was interviewed, and the reporter asked him, how does Biden win back Arab Americans? And his answer was, well, as soon as he brings back the 30,000 that were killed in
Right. It's
Gaza, it we'll consider voting for him again. Now, that was a
yeah.
pretty powerful statement.
Yeah. In other words, that the media is trying to spin it that, oh, don't worry, they're just a temper in a teapot, tempest in a teapot. Their anger, they'll, they're forget about them. They're not significant anyway. But we've seen, and I have to say, I've seen a higher voter turnout in those communities more over this than I have seen in prior years. And again, it's not whether it's right or wrong. It's about what impact will it have, and how will Biden deal with it? And he can't deal with the basic issues without being questioned. When I watch him, He's going to do his State of the Union tonight, I think. And I'm only watching because I want to see how many times will he stumble? How many times will he mix up a name? You know, it's, I'm not, it, a lot of people are not going to be watching because they're looking for great leadership or great policies. I'm not saying everybody is like that, but I think that is a problem for him that he can't overcome. And if Trump would get his act together and stop being petty and focus on his policies, I think, you know, that maybe we might be able to overcome this polarization. But I don't think Trump has it in him to bring the country back together. If
No,
it's
I don't
Trump
either.
or Biden, we're stuck.
No, but I didn't think 6, 8 months ago, a year ago, that Trump had a any kind of possibility of being reelected. Today, as much as I hate to say it, I think that Trump is going to win this election. And I think it is primarily because of the policies of Biden. The border is a terrible situation. The situation where he has alienated so many of the Arab Americans in this country. And now he's also alienating the Jewish people that support Israel
Right.
because he continually pushes for the ceasefire that Netanyahu has continually opposed.
Right.
So more and more, you know, Israeli supporters in this country, whether they be Jewish or not, are, you know, getting upset with Trump. That it seems like he's siding more and more now with the Arabs and the Muslims. So he's got a lot of problems. I still think the number one problem, excuse me, Ray, I
That's
think the
right.
number one problem is the border. I
Yeah,
really think
I agree.
that you know, and I don't think he can do anything about it. I think it's too late.
His Homeland Security Chief Mayorkas, I think, said that you can't use the term illegal alien anymore. It would be illegal to use the term illegal alien because they don't want to get away from it by addressing the problem. They want to get away from it by relabeling it so it doesn't exist. And if the media would just stop talking and using the term, and you and me would stop using the term illegal alien, they think that's going to solve the problem. The other problem I think Biden has is, you know, we're watching a very disturbing trends in Russia's invasion now, the third year in Ukraine. And it's not just a reflection of Russia's invasion and the Ukrainian defense. It is an assessment of the lack of strength on the part of President Biden in the United States to put our foot down and stop Russia from doing what it's doing. I've never heard of how weak we have become in the face of Russian aggression. A strong president like Ronald Reagan or anybody, I think, would have prevented him from doing what he did. And it just keeps getting worse. And it worries me that if Ukraine is taken over, we are going to be far worse in this world than we are today. It's just going to get horrible. I'm not sure Trump can bring us back out of that. That's why, if I were a Democrat, I mean, I am a Democrat, but if I were the rest of the Democrats, I'd be looking at an alternative candidate. And I wonder if that Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who comes from a very strong Democratic name that means a lot to this country, he could become the candidate against Trump, a stronger candidate. He may do better than Biden. You know, he
That's
could
very
be a better
possible.
choice. But of
Yeah,
course, his family's so Democratic, they don't want that conveyance to go out there. So they've been criticizing Robert F. Kennedy.
yes, they have been. Yeah, well, I certainly could vote for Kennedy before I would vote for you know, Biden or Trump. And
Right.
I'm looking forward to seeing who the, you know, no labels people finally get up there to run. And I'll maybe have a day or two before the election that they make the announcement. I'll be able to decide if their candidate's any good or not.
All right.
They're disgusting to me, that no labels group. You know, they're going to decide tomorrow what their next move is.
Yeah, it's that lack of leadership. That seems to be the new trend in the United States. We don't need leadership. We just need a name and let's just move forward. But as you know, our country, we're the leader of the free world. That word leader has suddenly been weakened
It
in
sure
our
does.
presence, and I think that's our biggest problem. Somebody should put the the power back into the word leader and represent this country. And I agree with you. If it comes down to Biden or Trump, I'm not sure I could vote for either one. It depends if Kennedy can make it on the ballot, which I think he can, in the general election, or somebody if the No Label Party can get its act together and endorse somebody. But it's still a big mess and it's still 7 months away, and I don't think we know. The last thing is, any thoughts about the effort by, this is another part of, they don't feel confident in Biden to win, so they're trying to find other ways to help him win by preventing Trump from being on the ballot. I thought it was unusual to see all nine members of the US Supreme Court rule together and say that that's not a state's issue, that those three states, like Illinois, Georgia, and I think California, maybe, I can't remember, are one of them,
Colorado.
Colorado, that they took them off the ballot, and the Supreme Court said, no, unanimously, you can't do that. I thought that was the right decision, finally.
Oh, well, you and I had said that you didn't believe, and I didn't believe that they had any right to take him off the ballot.
Right.
He wasn't convicted of anything.
Right.
There were a lot of charges hurled at him, but he hasn't been convicted of doing
Right.
anything as far as the attacking the Capitol that day. So there was no way. All that did, as far as I'm concerned, is
Right.
draw more people to Trump because
Right.
they see the government, trying to do everything possible to keep him off the ballot. And all that does is win him more friends, probably more voters. The Democrats keep this up, Biden won't get any votes because everybody will be so upset with them, they'll all vote for Trump.
If Trump wins and Biden loses, I think it's the media that can blame itself, because I agree with you. I think the media is so biased that people aren't focused on the presidents or the candidates, Trump or Biden. They're partisanly upset by the media. Republicans more are upset with the media than Democrats. But I think the media, if they would go back to their role of at least trying to be objective and presenting news in an objective way, whether they like it or not, and quit this one-sided fact-checking of Trump, but not fact-checking Biden. I think that w they could allow voters to actually look at the reality of the issues that are at stake. But I don't think they can see that in today's world. And I blame the news media for our problems, a lot of it.
Well, the news media is very biased, but the Democrats, I don't believe, can, and nor can the Republicans, but in this case, the Democrats, who have been anti-Supreme Court ever since Trump made several appointments to the Supreme Court, they want to expand it to 15.
Right.
They want to term limit it. Now, they never said that when it was a
Right.
liberal court, but now that it's a conservative court, they want to do that. But now that the decision was to keep Trump on the ballot, all those everybody's against it. The left is against it, the right is against it. None of them are objective about this stuff.
Right.
Unfortunately, God, if we were ever this divided and opinionated on December the 7th, 1941, I'm really afraid of what would have happened to this country.
Yeah, I agree. All right. I think we've gone through all the issues, and I wanted to give out a shout out to someone that D Diane, her husband, I believe, was a precinct captain in the 23rd Ward. She listens to us every week, and we want to thank D Diane for listening. We really appreciate her support, and we've done pretty well. We want to thank everybody that's been listening to the podcast. A lot more people. It's growing. And it continues to grow, and we're doing really well, especially when we mention Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s candidacy.
Well, let me
So.
just say in closing that her maiden name was Diane Kars, and it wasn't her, it was her brother that was a terrific precinct captain for me. Probably in regards to carrying the whole ticket, it was a toss-up between him and Alderman Zaleski, who was the best precinct captain I had.
Wow. All right. Well, that's a salute to a
And
good
what
person who
place, where does she work at?
right over at one of my favorite political restaurants, Buck's Pit Stop. There are only two great restaurants, JC's Pub and Joe. We should wish him well. He had heart surgery, and he's out and he's doing well. So there are only two real big places where, if you want to get into politics, you go to JC's Pub or you go to Buck's Pit Stop, and you can jump into the political pool and run into almost any politician you want at either of those restaurants. I love going there, and I know you also too. So, all
Certainly
right.
do.
All right. I'm Ray Hanania.
I'm Bill Lipinski. Until next time, my fellow Americans, have a wonderful week.